So a few years ago, I was listening to some music, which you guys know I love to do, and I was listening to this band called Beautiful Eulogy. And as I was listening to the song by Beautiful Eulogy, it something about it grabbed a hold of me. And there's this verse in it. It's like the chorus carries along, and it keeps saying the same thing over and over again. And it said, man, it can change everything. This word can change everything. And the whole song, I'm listening to it to figure out what the word that they're talking about is that could change everything. And not until the end of the song did it finally hit me that they had been saying this word over and over again. And you know, being a religious group, or kind of a religious hip hop group, I was singing like, it's gonna be love, it's gonna be grace, it's gonna be mercy, it's gonna be all these different things. And as the song starts to wind out, what you find out is that over and over again, they've been saying this word the whole song. And at the end of the song, they make it very clear that the one word that could change everything was the word if. And as soon as I heard the end of that song, it hit me. I was like, that is insane how true that really is. That the word if you think back over all of the ifs in your entire life, there are so many ifs that have changed your trajectory, that have changed where you were headed, where you were going. There are so many ifs in our lives that if you change those things, everything would look drastically different than it does. And I think, you know, in our society, if is one of the words, it's a conditional word. If this happens, this doesn't happen. If this happens, this does happen. And we understand that, and it's used in a lot of different ways. The word if can be used as motivation, right? You know, I look at my son, and I say, if you clean your room, then you get to play PlayStation tonight. But if you don't, you're not cleaning that. And that can be a good motivational factor. And in our lives, if can be that motivational factor, but it also can be used sometimes to manipulate. You know, well, if you really love me, I know we're not married, but if you really love me, we could mess around. If you really cared about me, we could do this or that. And it can be used in a bad sense as well to manipulate. But I think if we really think about that word, we all realize that if is a very powerful word in our lives. You know, I want you to think back over in your life for just a minute and just to think about all of the ifs, or some of the ifs, and you'll come up with them as we start talking through these, that you have faced in your life. For some of you, you look back and you're like, man, if I had not grown up in the family that I grew up in. And for different people in this room, that can mean different things. For the majority of our crowd, I know most of you pretty well, I know that when you think about that if statement, man, if I had grown up in a different family, you're thinking to yourself, things could have been so much different. Things could have been so much better. And there's a lot of hurt from that if question. Other people in this room, you know, your parents have become disciples and followers of God, and you've gotten to see what life can be like with that kind of family. And you're like, man, if I didn't grow up in this family, how screwed up might I be right now? You know, and for others, you look back and you think, man, if I hadn't had that drink, if I wouldn't have drank that at that party, then I wouldn't be dealing with all the consequences and all the hurt and all the regret and all the stupid things that have come about because of that one decision. Man, what if I had never taken that first drink? What if that never would have taken place? What if I had never started looking at pornography? What would my life be like if I never got caught up in this all-consuming thing that burns within me that I have to fight every day? What if I had never looked at porn that first time? What if I had never hooked up with that guy and gave him my everything whenever I thought that was going to last forever and it didn't? Man, what would my life be like if I didn't do that? What would my life be like if I hadn't been sexually abused? What decisions would I make? What if I would have done these things? And we start thinking about all these things, especially the things that are those negative, hurtful things in our lives. And we're like, man, what if that had never happened? What if I hadn't betrayed my best friend? What if I, in all of these ifs have had some kind of major impact in your life. They have changed your life. And I think all of us can understand if it has the power to cause those negative things in our life, there is also great power in the word if we are doing the right things. And this weekend, what we are going to be doing is we are going to be looking at the word if and looking at God's word. And we're going to pull out if passage after if passage after if passage. And we're going to look at it and say, so God says, if I do this, this is going to be the result. Sometimes it is one of those things where he's like, if you do this, great things are going to happen. But other times it's if you do these things and handle these things this way, really bad things are going to happen. But the one thing I can tell you about God is that he is consistent, he is honest, he is true, he is reliable. So if he says, if you do this or if you do that, whatever follows as a condition or a reaction to that if decision that you make is going to be the truth. It is going to take place. It's going to happen. If you go into the Word of God and look somewhere around 2,300 times in the Bible, you're going to find if-then statements where God says, if this, then this is going to happen. The word if is used over 574 times in the New Testament alone, and over half of those times, it is Jesus giving us an if-then statement. You know, and it's just crazy, but here's the thing about God is that Jesus always puts the if on man's side and the then on God's side. And what I mean by that, he says, listen, if you do this, God is going to react this way. He's either going to help you or he's going to make sure you see destruction if you do this or if you do that. And so this weekend, every single lesson has been designed for you to look into God's word and be able to take from that and say, okay, so this is pretty simple. If I love God, if I allow bitterness to come in my life, if I'm involved in this sin or that sin, if I trust God, all of these lessons are designed to say, you can know exactly what will happen if you abide by what God's word says in this if conditional statement that you're going to face. It is going to impact every single area of your life. And so I really want to encourage you to do a couple things this weekend as we go through this. One is, I want you, as you look at that schedule and those classes and you see what the titles are and what those lessons are about, I want you to really evaluate what class you need to go to. I don't want you to be thinking about where my buddy's going, where my friends are going, there, or any of those things, or necessarily even who's teaching this class. What you need to be doing is saying, what in my life needs to change? What if I focus in on this area, it is going to make my life better, it's going to make the kingdom of God better, and make your class decisions and choices based upon what you need in your life, because I promise you, if you start listening to God in those if-then statements of the Word of God, it is going to drastically change everything in your life. And I can say that because I've seen God do this over and over and over again. As I sit here and I look at the faces of each and every one of you in the crowd, I know the majority of you. And I know what would have happened if you had never met that person on campus, or if you had never been sitting next to that person in high school. I know what would have happened if those ministries never existed, if that church was never planted. I know what your life would be like because we know what it was like before God. And so you can understand that this weekend can have a really heavy impact on your life because it is going to deal with those if statements of the Bible that can drastically impact you.
As tonight, that if statement, that if word, means a lot to me because growing up, I didn't grow up doing anything like this. A lot of you guys know my story. Some of you guys may not. But I didn't grow up going to church in a way like this. I went to church on those most important days, right? Like Christmas and Easter. That was the most important ones you went to, and that's where I went with my mom growing up Catholic. But whenever I was around some of your guys' age, 18, a choice was put before me. I sat down and I studied the Bible with Carrie and with Juan, and they presented me with this question, whether or not, or if I was going to choose to follow God. And it came down to the word that we're talking about tonight, and that's love. If we love him. And I had to make that choice in my life, whether or not I'm going to choose to love the Lord. And John 14 is where we're going to pick up tonight, and it starts off with this. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be there for you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, but it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself in him, Jesus answered. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home in him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Love is such a powerful word. It's such a motivating word. I was riding along with some people today, and I got to thinking about like the whole reason why I became a follower of God is due to love. A love that, a love that I didn't feel and I didn't understand whenever I was your guys' age. I grew up not having much. My parents were divorced. We lived paycheck to paycheck. And I was always grasping for that relationship, that love, that sense of someone who really cared for me. And I think that, man, whenever I had the opportunity to hear passages like this and to sit down and study the Word of God with somebody who pointed me in that direction, and I really got to understand what that love meant, I had a choice whether or not I was going to apply it to my life and if I were going to love the Father. And it was a great motivating factor for me to continue to do what I'm doing. But not do what I'm doing just because it's the right thing to do, but do what I'm doing because it's something that I enjoy. You guys think about that, guys, right? When you think of the things that you really love, don't you just, there's something about it that just makes you so happy to be able to do that? That's the kind of love that this passage is talking about. God wants you to have that kind of love towards Him. But, guys, I'm telling you, it doesn't happen all the time. Some of you guys made a trip here, you know, and we made some big changes, right? If you don't believe in love and the love of God and the power of God, and you see what happened just to be able to make this happen, you know, tonight, everybody in churches pulling together and the leaders in here pulling things together, man, that's just a reflection of God's love. But it's not just about showing up to things. It's about giving your heart to Him. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, it says this. Listen to what it says here. It says, "But Samuel replied, 'Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams.'" You know, Carrie and I picked this passage to kind of point it out to you guys, to let you know that sacrifices and those burnt offerings are great, but God desires obedience. He desires your heart. He desires your attitude. He desires your mind. He desires you to have like an intimacy, an authentic relationship with Him. That's what love is. Love is about relationship. It's not just about checking the box to do what's right and do those things that you do every week, right? Raise your hand if you go to Cross Chats every week. Raise your hand if you go to church every week. Raise your hand if you go to the you fill in the blank event that your church leader asks you and puts forth in front of you to do on a weekly or monthly basis. Raise your hand if you do that. Those things are great, but He wants it to be more than just a ritual. Amen? He wants it to be something that you're doing because it's driven out of something that is motivating, and that's love. We're going to talk about a few things, five different things that we think. If we love Jesus, the first thing that we think about that comes out of this passage is we will keep His commands. If we love Jesus, we will keep His commands. In John 14, verse 15, it says, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." Plain and simple, right? I mean, how many more times do we have to say it? And if Jesus said it, surely that's good enough. If Jesus obeyed the commandments from His Father, surely that's good enough. But He says, "If you love me, you'll do these things." Carrie mentioned, you know, before, you know, you put kind of an analogy. So I've got four kiddos. They're pretty much all scattered throughout here. Gabe is sitting over there. Hattie's over here. Malachi's back there. And Niece is sitting right there. Niece is, she's 24. She's single. She's looking. Just letting that be known. Go ahead, put your hand up, girl. All right. Be here all weekend.
We're taking applications, so just come see us.
For my Ashley and I, you know, for our kids, back pulling it all back together here, for our kids, you know, I think of that, my kids don't always obey what I say. You know what I mean? I think of this passage and I'm like, man, you know, if you love me, you'll obey, you'll do what I say. I grew up my parents were divorced, but my mother is Filipino. So in that, when I would go to my mom's home, it was very different than my dad's home. So I grew up with a Filipino mom, a Filipino Lola, their friends, they were all Filipinos, loud and running around, eating food, partying. I grew up on that side. And in that culture, it's very much a obedient, respectful culture. Right? Whenever Matt understands this very well, and then anybody else in here who's who has that kind of background or just Eastern background, you know, sometimes you see that a lot. This respect and obedience, this love and obedience. And if you did not obey the commands of that within that culture, it was viewed as like almost a sense of hate and malice and resentment. But it seems like here in our culture that we live in today, it's become such a proud thing to say that I want to stand up for myself and be in myself and me. If, you know, I have my rights to say and do whatever I want, and submit is such a terrible thing. But God constantly preaches throughout Scripture that if you love Him, you're going to obey His commandments. And you're going to do what He says. In verse 15 and 21 and verse 23, it says the same things. He reiterates it over and over. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. In verse 24, it goes on. And if you look at 24, it kind of gives the opposite of it. If you don't really love me, if you don't really hold on to my commandments, you hate me. But can you imagine that? Now, put that into perspective, guys. Whenever you know what your Father in heaven wants you to do, and you don't do it, you're looking at him and you're saying, I don't really love you. I don't really care about you. You know how bad that would hurt me for my children to look at me square in the face and in my eyes and say that to me? Imagine how bad that would make you feel if the person that you love so deeply, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your best friend, your spouse, some of you guys, your children, some of you guys who are in here, if they looked at you and they just said, man, I don't really want to listen to you, and that really just stems from a heart that doesn't really care for you. That's what the passage is talking about. If we love Jesus, we'll obey his commands. Next, if we love Jesus, we will be loved by the Father and Jesus. Guys, love is reciprocal. If we love him, we will be loved by the Father and Jesus. You guys get what we're saying here? It's reciprocal. Now, obviously, I can love somebody and them not love me back, and I can continue on with that. I think Jesus did a great display of that whenever he sacrificed his life on the cross, whenever we were still sinners, right? But there's something special about a love that goes both ways, isn't there? Let me know if you felt that, right? Some of you guys have felt that. Isn't that special? Isn't that great? Our Father in heaven wants us to experience that with him, and that happens through an authentic relationship. In John chapter 14, verse 21, it says this, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him. There's something really special in that. You know, in essence, the love received from God the Father is a reflection of a divine relationship, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And for the believers to be adopted into that relationship, man, that is amazing. For those of you guys who have made that commitment to Christ, and you say, I really love him, and you do the things that he says, but you take it beyond just the actions, and you push it into that heart and that attitude, man, that's the kind of love that is great. That's the kind of love that is powerful. That's the kind of love that changes lots of things, and we're going to talk about that later. But that's the kind of love that brought you all here today. And that's the kind of love that I was able to jump into and experience whenever I was your guys' age. In John 15, verse 10 through 11, it says this, if you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments. You see, Jesus is only telling us what he's done. He's not saying what we need to do. Like Robert said in that prayer, all we have to do is mimic and imitate. All we have to do is exactly what the Father says, and we can follow exactly what Jesus said and did for us to be able to get there. Later on in that passage, or continuing on that passage, it says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. That's really what everybody is searching for, is for a sense of happiness, a sense of joy, a sense of love, and something to complete you, right? God is saying it right here. He's literally saying it right there. Guys, if you just learn to love me, if you just learn to love me, you can have a sense of wholeness and completeness, and love, and joy, and just this happiness that is, it's unreal. It's great for me to see Jimmy walk in through those doors. And the relationship that Ashley and I and my kids have had with Jimmy over the years, it's something special. The only reason why I got that is because of the love of God and because I chose to love him. And I look out in the crowd and I feel that same way for so many of you guys. And God wants to deepen that. But first, you got to choose whether or not if you're going to love him.
See, so if we really love Jesus, we're going to obey what he has to say, and we're going to do what he tells us to do, but we're also going to experience the love of the Father and the love of Jesus. And then the third thing is that if we really love God, if we really love Jesus, what you're going to find out is that we will see Jesus clearly in our lives. You see, in John 14, 21, it says this, "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him." And then he says, "and manifest myself to him." And you get this idea in this passage when you see this, he's saying, man, if you really love me and you're obedient to me, what is going to take place is that you are going to start to see and experience and understand and know me in a way that is much different and deeper than what you do right now. Now, clearly, I look at this and I'm like, man, how cool would it be as if we started obeying Jesus tomorrow the way that God wants us to, and all of a sudden Jesus just appears before us, right? That's like, all of us look at that and we're like, oh, if we could do that, then it would be easier to follow him and easier to understand if he was right here in front of us. But the thing is that I think when you look at obedience to God and you start watching someone who really loves God, who really obeys him, and you look at their lives, it becomes very clear that they know Jesus and that he knows them, and you're able to look at those people and see exactly who Jesus was and what he did. You know, I think back when I was a little kid, I remember we used to go to this workshop in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and there was this old white-haired guy. My whole life, he was white-haired. I don't ever remember him having anything but white hair. But there was this old white-haired dude named Marvin Phillips. And Marvin Phillips would get up there and he would preach. And from the time I was a little bitty kid, there was something so engaging about this old dude. He would get up there and he was excited. He would tell these stupid, corny jokes. But then he would start talking about how much he loved God and how much he loved the kingdom of God. And you could look at his life and you could see really clearly that he loved God because he obeyed God. And there was something about that. When I looked at Marvin Phillips, it was almost like as a little kid that you're looking at this person. I'm like, man, that dude looks like Jesus. His love for God and his obedience of God, when I looked at him, I was like, that dude, this is what Jesus would have looked like. And over the years, I've gotten to see other men and women, and you can probably right now think about people in your life that you can identify, that you look at and you're like, man, that person really loves God. Man, that person does what God tells them to do. And I guarantee you, those people that you think about in your life are the people that you look at and you're like, that person is like Jesus. That person is like Jesus. And we have some of these people and we hold them in high regard and esteem and respect, which I believe the Bible tells us we should do, but we should also all be aspiring to be people who are seeing Jesus manifested in our own lives so that other people are also able to see him clearly. But the problem is that for too long, what disciples of Jesus or people who call themselves Christians have done is they say, yeah, I love God and yeah, I go to church. And what they've tried to do is they've tried to have this relationship with God without the obedience side of it. They want the Savior that Jesus is, but they don't want the Lord and Master part. And so what they do is they come into this relationship with him where they think they can call him Lord and they can say they love him and then can totally disregard and disobey everything that he says, and they want to still be right with God, and they also think that they're going to still become more like him when they refuse to do what he says. And it is made clear all throughout Scripture that you are not going to look like Jesus to anyone else or become more like Jesus if you refuse to have a Lord and Master. And we've got to come to the understanding that, man, think about the people who reached out to you. Were they perfect? By no means. But did you look at those people who you first met, who reached out to you, and did you see something different about them? Did you see Jesus manifest in their lives in a way that drew you closer to him? All of us should be people who are longing to become more like Jesus Christ, and that starts with our love of him. Our obedience helps to shape us into him so that other people are able to see it, and they should see it in every aspect of your life. When you love Jesus and you obey him, it affects every aspect of your life. But the question really is, if I really love Jesus or not? Deuteronomy 28 verses 1 through 14 says this, "If you fully obey the Lord your God. Okay, so it starts off with an if statement, right? If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all of his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All the blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You'll be blessed in the city, and you'll be blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land, and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks. You look at this, every single thing that you see is affected. Your basket and your kneading trowel will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in, and you will be blessed when you go out. And what this is saying is when you learn to love God and be obedient to him, he manifests himself in your life in a way that brings about incredibly powerful blessings. And I want you guys to understand, some of you guys, for years, I've watched people come and talk to my parents and be like, man, I really want a marriage like you, Robert Rita. I really want to have kids that love God like your kids, Robert Rita. I want to be a parent like you. I want to be a grandparent like you. And my parents will look at me and say, okay, really what you need to do then is you need to love God and you need to do what he says. And they're like, well, okay, maybe I don't really want to be parents and grandparents like you. Because the reason my parents are great parents, and the reason that they're great grandparents, and the reason they do a great job leading the church, the reason that you can look at their lives and see the fruit of God, and you can see Jesus manifesting in their life, is because they love God, and they do what he says, and they're not going to turn their backs on that, regardless of how difficult it can be. And I think every one of you have people in the church who you look up to, that you love and you respect and you want to be like, and the reason that you want to be like them is you see Jesus in them. Because they love God and they do what he says. And you say you want to be like those people, when it comes to the actual obedience part of it, you skirt out. And you're never going to have the lives and the kind of things that you dream about for your family if you don't love God in a way that calls you to obedience, that leads to Christ being manifest in your life, that shows up everywhere in your life, to where your life can be looked at and say, man, that person's like Jesus. Look how different they are. There's such a stark contrast between light and darkness. That comes from love, obedience, and Jesus manifesting in and through your life. In Joshua 1:8, it says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Listen, I'm not here to give you this like, you know, televangelist message that says your life is going to be perfect and everything's going to go great if you just put your hand on the Bible. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. But it does say very clearly that if we love God, we meditate on his law, and we do what it says, our lives will be prosperous and successful. And it will affect you, it will affect your spouse someday, it will affect your children and your grandchildren, it will affect everybody that you come into contact with if you love God in such a way that you're willing to do what he says, and people will look and say, that's what Jesus would do, this is how Jesus would live, this is what Jesus, a life with and in Jesus, looks like. We've got to choose to love God in a way that allows Jesus to be clearly seen in and through every aspect of our lives. But again, it comes down to the question is, if you love Jesus, and if you're willing to do everything that he says, and if you do those things, man, God has an incredible and tremendous blessings for your life, if you do that.
The next one is, we will live with God. If we love Jesus, we will live with God. In my short amount of time here on this planet, 39 years, fit to be 40.
Dang, huh?
Says a child sitting right over here in the front. Man, I think God has refined me a lot. I think one of the things that, you know, he has taught me the most is that, you know, I don't like to lose, but I keep losing to time. It's so short what we have here. It just doesn't last forever. And I know that you guys think that it does because you hope and you pray for a long life ahead of you. But there's going to be a point in time when all of this time is gone for you. And you're going to be somewhere. Do you ever stop and think about that? That if you really love the Lord in a way that is authentic, It shows up in your actions and in your mind and in your heart and the words that you say and in your attitudes. You can be in a home that is amazing. But if you don't love the Lord, it can be terrible. In John chapter 14, verse 23, it says this, Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home in him. And doesn't that sound good? I want God. I want to be able to be in a home with God. I want to be able to be in that place that everybody talks about as being so great and grand. I want to be in that place that some of our family and friends are being able to experience now. All because you choose to love God and love his son. In John chapter 14, listen to this. It says, verse 2 through 3, it says this, my Father's house has many rooms. Many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and I'll take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Man, Jesus is making some hefty promises here, and they can be trusted. You can rely on that if you love him. There's a song that Carrie was, you know, when we were talking about this, and I maybe don't know it as well as he does, but there's a song that goes, come and go with me to my Father's house. My Father's house. It's a big, big house with lots and lots of rooms. A big, big table with lots and lots of food. A big, big yard where we can play football.
Touchdown!
A big, big house. It's my Father's house. Man, you guys know that? All right. You guys know that song? You guys know that song? But do you really live and love him in a way to get there? Man, you can know the song. You could sing that song. You did it on the fly right now. But do you really know him and love him in a way that will allow you to get there? We've had several people in our ministry, in our church, pass away over the years that were faithful followers of God. And sometimes you hear, you sing songs, or we sing songs at church, or you're at church and you see maybe an area where they always stood, or a ministry that they always engaged in or served at. I think of Mallory. Mallory is a close friend of ours and my wife's and a lot of the other lady leaders over here. TC's younger sister, and she passed away far earlier than should have been. And she gets to experience that house. Her Father in heaven came and got her and took her there to be able to have what she has to experience now. I want to be there sometime to be able to share that experience with her. It takes love to get there.
You know, RJ isn't probably going to go there because he probably won't get through it, but like, some of you have been around a long time, grew up at the church, you knew Papa Jim. And you remember coming in to the children's ministry and seeing RJ's dad. This is a lovable, kind, incredibly just sweet man. And you know, we had that train at the old church building. You guys remember that? If you remember that? Seeing that train upstairs with the Pawpaw Jim painted on the side of it as a conductor? Man, you know, Jim loved you guys deeply. He loved the church deeply, but he loved the church deeply because he loved Jesus deeply, which made and required him to obey Jesus, which pulled him into the kingdom of God. And RJ, well, it sucks right now not getting to be here with his dad. He knows if he loves God and does what God says, he's going to get to be in that big, big house with Paul and Jim forever. And some of you need to really ask yourself the question that RJ is talking about is, do I really love Jesus in a way that I'm going to obey him, which allows the Father and the Son to love me, that also allows me to be, them to look at me and say, hey, come on, you're coming home with me at the end of your days.
There's no doubt that there's songs that we sing, and places that, you know, that we go and we serve at, that reminds me a lot of my father. And, you know, that word love that we're talking about, I didn't see much hate in his life ever. Didn't see much of it. Except for a time he got lost. I'll tell you that story later. His voice, his phone recorded a time whenever he got lost. He was pretty frustrated. Said a choice word there. The voicemail caught it. It was quite funny. I think of Grammy Sue. Grammy Sue. I loved Grammy Sue. You know, she's another lady at the church that served a lot, actually, and was good friends with my dad. I think of her daughter, Shelly. Shelly is another great woman that passed before her time. She served in many ministries, and Shelly helped to start and begin the Comforting Rachel for women who have gone through abortions. Tough topic to talk about, but she loved the Lord in a way that allowed her to be in this house, in this place with our Father in heaven. I think of Grandma and Grandpa. That's Robert's, you know, Dad and Mom. I remember taking so many trips down to Southern Illinois in the summer, and you know, being outside in Grandpa's garden, on love garden. So spending time out there with him was fun. There's a playground right next door that, you know, we used to go run and hang out at. And our kids went there whenever, as they got older. Good man. Grew some fruits and vegetables like nobody else. Grandma, she made great breakfast. She made, I remember the cast iron skillet that Grandma would make biscuits in the morning because we would want some. And all those people, my dad, you know, all those people, they chose to love God, to love Jesus in a way that was real, that was authentic. And in return, the promise comes true where you get to be taken back to your Father in heaven. You ask yourself that, do you really, am I choosing to really love God? Because if you do, you can't live with him.
And finally, if we love Jesus enough to really obey him, the thing that I think we really need to understand is that it will change everything. If you leave the lesson with anything tonight, I hope you walk away realizing that if I love God in the way that I should, that calls me to an obedience because of my deep love for him, is that everything in your life hangs in the balance of if you love Jesus. Everything hangs in the balance of whether or not you really love God. Whenever the religious people come to Jesus and they try to hang him up on a question about some stupid argument they had, and they said, well, what's the greatest commandment then? And Jesus looks at him and says, he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is just like it. You shall love your neighbors yourself. And then he says this, on these two commandments depend all of the law of the prophets. Another translation says, all of the law of prophets hang on these two commands. And he says, listen, every single thing in your life, every single thing you do is going to hinge on the if you love Jesus or not. All of the commandments that come in Scripture and all the decisions that you're going to make in the future are all going to be affected deeply by whether or not you love Jesus. Everything is going to be changed by this if statement. That's why we're starting with it, because everything else that we do this weekend, every single lesson you hear really is determined by if you love God or not. Whether or not you're going to love him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. And I am telling you guys, I've been doing campus ministry since 1996. And I have watched college student after college student after college student come in and through our ministry. And I have watched college students who deeply love God. They do what he says, and I have watched them go from people who grew up thinking, man, I'm never going to have a good family. I don't know how to be a husband or a wife. I don't know how to be a parent. I don't know how to do any of these things. And they come from completely screwed up and broken backgrounds, but they decide that they're going to love Jesus. And as they decide that they love Jesus, that means they're going to do what he says. And as they are learn to be shaped by that, God bless their lives incredibly. And now I'm looking at them, and they're grown, and they're married, and they have kids, and their kids are coming up through our children's ministry and our junior high ministry, and I'm seeing their kids follow Jesus, and I'm seeing God use those people to make disciples, and I'm seeing them be people who we can call upon and say, we need to house 250 people in 3 days. Who can help? And we find the housing easily, and we need to cook all these meals, and they step up and do it because they love Jesus in a way that calls into obedience and in a way that pushes them to love you just as deeply as they love him. It changes everything when you love Jesus. Everything is changed. James 1:25 says, whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in all they do. The only way that you abide by this passage is if you truly love Jesus. It is impossible to obey the way that God calls us to outside of a relationship with him that is driven and compelled by our love for Jesus. There is one word that can change everything for you this weekend, and that word is if. And I hope that the first if that you can answer is, if I love God and if I obey him, he is going to work mightily in and through my life. And I hope you can make that decision tonight and solidify in your mind that you are going to love God above everything else in your life. And this weekend, as you go through each and every class, you can think about, man, what happens if I take this lesson and I actually apply it to my life and I really do love God and I take these lessons that I'm learning and I apply them to everyday life. If I do that, what is my life going to be like? How is my life going to be affected? If I do that, how are the people I come into contact with on my campus, in my high school, how are their lives going to be affected? If I love God, how is it going to change? And what is it going to change? One word changes everything. And that word is if. So this weekend, let's take it seriously. And let's look into God's word. Let's love him. Let's apply the scriptures the way that they were designed to be obeyed in our lives. And let's see how powerful God really is. Hasn't it been fun the past few years to watch this group grow and grow and grow? Isn't it cool to watch the churches be planted and to get to look around and for Shanice to have other people to date since she can't, you know, seem to tie them up? You okay, Shanice? You know, God just does incredible things. It's exciting. I can't wait to see what God has in store for this weekend and beyond. God is going to do some great things. I'm going to have RJ wrap us up with a prayer, and then worship music come up, and we're going to sing a couple songs, and then we're going to give you some announcements after that first song, and some things to talk about for tomorrow. But man, one word can change everything. If you love God, it's going to change your life.
Let's pray. Father, I truly love you. I'm truly grateful for everything you've done in my life. You are so powerful, so majestic, and so worth everything that I have. God, I'm so glad to be able to be here this evening and worship together with everybody. Father, to be able to, honestly, just to be able to be up here and talk. It's relieving, and it's great for my heart to be able to know how much you love me. And for me to just allow that love to show up in the way that I love you and the way that I love others. Father, it's been nothing but blessings in my life. And God, I know that tough times, and I've gone through difficult situations because of my love for you, Father, but you have always remained faithful. You have always pulled me through all of those situations better, stronger, more reliant on you, Father, and I pray that you do the same things for everybody here. Father, bless this weekend. Bless our time together, Father. Keep us safe and healthy, but more importantly than just that, God, help us to have hearts that look to you for the answers and for the guidance for our life. We love you, and we praise in your son's name. Amen. Amen.